1. James chapter 1. Appreciate Brother Dan Phelps and sharing with us this morning about Gideon's International. And one of the reasons that Friendship continues partnering with a ministry like Gideon's is that we both share a high view of God's Word. We believe that the Scripture, we agree that the Bible is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And so the emphasis on Scripture and getting God's Word into the hands of people who need to hear it. And I'm sure as he shared the testimony this morning of the salesman, it just grips my heart to know that God uses his word to save the lost. And so we're excited about partnering with them and look forward to hearing stories in the future of how God works through his word. In America, you know that Bibles are just about everywhere. You find them in the grocery stores, bookstores, motel rooms. You find them about any place. They come in all sizes. They come in all shapes, all different translations. You can get one that is leather-bound. You can get one that's paperback. Of course, electronic Bibles are the new thing. But every year, the Bible outsells every other major bestseller. Last year alone, there were over 500 million Bibles published in the world, 18,000 different languages. In America, we are inundated with the Word of God. It's on the airways. It is on radio and TV. You find it in books and magazines. It's everywhere. But church, millions of people still miss the blessing of God's Word. Why do they miss the blessing? The Bible is a book of blessing. It promises comfort and strength and hope. It promises wisdom and joy, power and purpose. But just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you're going to get the benefit of it. Just because you own a Bible doesn't mean that it's blessing you. James gives us three steps on how we are blessed by the Bible. And I believe James 1:25 is really the key verse in our text today. Look in chapter 1, verse 25. James writes, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." The Bible is called the perfect law because it is exactly what you and I need. It promises freedom and it promises blessing. And James gives us three steps. If I want to be blessed, then I must receive God's word. That's the first thing that we learn here in the book of James. If I want to be blessed by the Scripture, then I need to receive God's word. Verse 21, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." I want you to highlight that word receive. Some translations use the word accept, but the idea is, James says that we need to receive the word. It is a hospitality term. It means to welcome. It means to allow something to come on in. And if we're going to be blessed by the word of God, we need to welcome God's word into our lives. We must be receptive. And James gives the illustration of garden and seed. And folks, all through Scripture, the Bible compares itself to seed. You remember Jesus told the parable of the sower and how the word of God is the seed that is planted in our hearts. Let me ask you, how is it that you can take two seeds that are exactly the same, you can plant those seeds in two different locations, and you get different crops in terms of fruitfulness? Now, how does it happen? It's because one soil is prepared and the other soil is not. How is it that two people sit in the same service, the same message, one person gets blessed by it, and the other one goes out and says, "Man, I got nothing from that. I don't know where the pastor was today, but that didn't speak to my heart at all." How does that happen? It's because one heart was prepared and one heart was not. James says we need to receive the word of God. And church, we need to receive it with the right attitude, and he gives four attitudes that we need to cultivate if we're going to be blessed by God's word. Four hearing aids, four attitudes needed to be blessed by God's word, and the first is that we need to be careful. I need to have a careful attitude. In verse 19, James warns, "Be quick to hear That word hear means listen. Be quick to listen. He instructs us to give God's word our full attention. We're to be careful. We're to be alert. Don't miss it, but be quick to hear and slow to speak. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I'm talking, I'm not listening very well. When I'm talking, I'm not listening. It's true, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Maybe we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. I think many of our problems are caused because we're quick to speak rather than quick to listen. So if we're going to receive God's word into our lives, if we're going to welcome his word in, we need to be intent. And the first attitude is to be careful. Then we need to be calm. Be calm if you're going to receive God's word and be blessed by it. The latter part of verse 19, James adds, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. A relaxed attitude increases your being able to receive God's word. If you're relaxed, people can communicate with you more effectively. We don't hear much when we're angry. We don't hear much when we're upset or bitter or resentful. People ask, how come God never speaks to me? Maybe you've got some resentment that's been built up in your life, and you need to get rid of it so that you can hear from God. I read an article that suggests that when you listen, it lowers your blood pressure. The writer said, when you speak, it raises your blood pressure. So I think James says, be calm. Some of us are going to stroke out because we've got too much to say, and we don't do enough listening to what God has to say to us. Let me ask you, what is your emotional state normally when you come to church on Sunday morning? Is it a little hectic in your house getting ready on Sunday morning? You get everybody ready and everybody in the car and somebody forgot something, and so they've got to go back in. They got their right shoe but forgot their left shoe or whatever it was. And so you fuss all the way to church. About the time you see the big friendship steeple out there, everybody just says, okay, we're at church, and a smile comes on the face. But we come in, and the morning's been hectic, or we rush in right about the time that the service is about to begin. Let me ask you, do you come into this place with a calm attitude? Do you come ready to receive from God? Sometimes we come into this worship center at the last minute, and we expect God to speak to us, but we haven't prepared. We haven't been careful. We haven't been calm. We haven't been quiet before the Lord. Another attitude that helps us receive God's word is that we need to be clean. Verse 21, James says, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Before the seed can be planted, you need to do a little weeding. And that word filth that James uses, the original language, the word was earwax. That's what we need to remove. Friend, when you have sin in your life, it blocks your hearing. It prevents God's word from getting into your heart. And so James advises us that we need to get rid of the evil. Eliminate anything we know that isn't right in our lives. God says, lay aside all of the emotional garbage. Lay aside all of the old habits, the junk in your life. Lay that aside so that God's word can get through to you. He said, Jason, how can we be clean? We're cleansed through confessing sin. 1 John 1:9, we're told, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I love the Living Bible. It says, get rid of all that's wrong in your life, both inside and out. So if we're going to hear God's word, we need to be careful. We need to be calm. We need to be clean. And there's a fourth attitude, a fourth hearing aid that we need to cultivate, and that is that we need to be compliant. In other words, be teachable, be yielded, humble, willing to be changed. James says, in humility, receive the word implanted. In other words, don't act like you know it all. If you know it all, God's word can't get through to you. So we approach God's word with an open mind, with an open heart. Why? So that we can receive all that God has for us. God says, if you want to be blessed, you've got to receive the word. Be receptive. But reception is not enough. James says, I not only need to receive the word of God, but he says that I must reflect on God's word. Look in verse 23. James says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. James uses an illustration here. He compares God's word to a mirror. And what's the purpose of a mirror? The mirror allows us to kind of check things out. It allows us to evaluate ourselves. We look in a mirror and we can sometimes assess when you first get up in the morning and you go into the bathroom and you look in the mirror, you kind of assess what kind of damage was done overnight, right? And how I'm going to go about repairing that damage. But what good is a mirror if we don't do anything about what we see? If you get up in the morning and your hair's all matted down and you got slobber all over the side of your face from sleeping and you get up and you look in the mirror and say, well, that doesn't look good, but you just put your clothes on and you walk out that way, be rough, right? That's not what we typically do. God's word reflects what we are like on the inside. It's like a mirror. The psalmist said, God's word is a lamp unto my feet. And so scripture, it certainly exposes darkness. It exposes our sin, our flaws. But we have a tendency to exaggerate when we speak about another person's sin. But friend, God's word does not lie about us. We have a tendency to pick out another person's weaknesses. But we struggle to see our own sin, our own faults. Many years ago in eastern Tennessee, some tourists had camped in the hills one evening, and because the mountain folk didn't see tourists in those days, when the tourists left, the mountaineer went out and he was kind of looking through the area where they had camped, and he found a number of things that they'd left behind. One of the things that he found was a mirror. And so this mountaineer, he'd never seen a mirror before, so he held the mirror up and he looked into it and he said, well, man, I never knew that anyone had taken this picture of my dad. And so he was sentimental about this picture of his father. And so he took it home and he slipped into the house and he climbed up into the loft and he hid the mirror. His wife saw him come in and she knew he had something that he slipped under his pillow. She wasn't sure what it was. So when he left the house, she went upstairs to see what he had hidden. And she found the mirror and she looked into it. She said, so that's the old bag he's been running around with. Friend, may I say to you that it sure is easier to read the Word of God and think that it's a picture of someone else. But God's Word tells us exactly who we are. Exposes our sin, our weaknesses, our flaws. And James gives us three practical ways that you and I can reflect on the Word of God. The first thing he advises us to do is that we need to read it. Verse 25 says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law. James is using, he's talking really more about researching God's word than he is just reading. He's talking about investigating the scripture. That word look in the original language, it means to stoop down, to gaze in. It's the same word. When Peter showed up on resurrection morning and he went to the tomb to see if Jesus was in the tomb, it talks about how he studied, how he carefully looked into the tomb. He investigated the scene. And James instructs us that we need to focus our attention on the Word of God. You know, there are two ways that you can look in a mirror. You can gaze at it, or you can glance at it. And all of us have done both. It's human nature that we struggle to walk by a mirror without looking into it. But when you glance at it, you immediately walk away and you sort of forget what you've seen. It doesn't do any good. And I think many people try to have a quiet time that way. They don't want to gaze at God's word. They just want to open it up and glance at it. We give God 5 minutes. But God says he wants us to gaze at his word. He wants us to look at the scriptures intently, in detail. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? As I'm reading scripture, is there an attitude to change? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray? Is there an error to avoid? Is there a truth to believe? Is there something that I need to thank God for? Answering those questions as we look intently at the Word of God, it helps us not just to read God's Word, but it helps us to study, to research, to understand the Scriptures. James says we reflect on the Bible when we read it, and also when we review it. James 1:25, be one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. and abides by it, or continues to do so. The word picture describes something that is done over and over again. The Bible calls this meditation. When you think about something over and over and over, it's meditation. Meditation is not putting your mind in neutral and thinking about nothing. Meditation means that we're thinking seriously about something over and over again. Let me tell you this. If you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. What is worry? Worry is thinking about something negative over and over and over and over again, and it eats us up. What's meditation? It's thinking about God's word, something positive, over and over and over again. It's thinking intently about God's word. And that's what we're instructed to do. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And so we read God's word, we review it. The sermon notes that we provide for you on Sunday morning, it's not to keep you awake. And even the sermon notes can't keep some of you awake. But they're not for that purpose. They're not just so that you can kind of follow along with a message. Why do we give you notes? Because we want you to go back and review it during the week. We want you to go back and say, well, what did God's word say? And spend some time in your quiet time just looking over what God said. Stay in the scriptures. Be faithful to God's word. You know, I know some people who are more faithful to the Paducah Sun than they are to read God's word. Now, do you believe everything you find in the Paducah Sun? I hope not. Do you believe everything you find in the scriptures? I hope so. And yet some of us, we're more faithful to read the newspaper than we are the Word of God. We need to fill our minds with God's Word. James says, if you want to be blessed, then reflect on the Word. Think about it, read it, review it. And then there's a third practical way that we reflect on God's Word. We read it, we review it, and that is we need to remember it. The end of verse 25, it says, not having become a forgetful hearer. Church, I want you to know that nothing will do more for your spiritual life than developing the habit of memorizing God's word. Nothing. Nothing will do more for your spiritual life than the practice of memorizing scripture. Psalm 119:11, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You need to memorize God's word if you want to be blessed by it. I know some people say, well, I just can't remember anything. We remember what's important to us. And so if we value God's word, then we're going to take notes on it and we're going to attempt to memorize it. James says, receive God's word with the right attitude. Reflect on God's word by reading it, reviewing it, remembering it. But church, I have to tell you, even that's not enough. A third step, if I want to be blessed by the Bible, is that I must respond to God's word. I need to receive it. I need to reflect on it. But ultimately, I've got to do something about it. I need to act on God's word. I need to live it. I need to practice it. And I love what James said in verse 22. He challenges us. He challenges you. He certainly challenges me. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. James encourages us to do what God's word says, to put it into practice. What good is a mirror if you look at it and you don't do anything about it? That word hearer or listen, in the original language, it's the word for auditor. What does it mean to audit a class? If you audit a class in college, basically it meant that you took the class, but you took it for, but you didn't take it for credit. There were no tests that you were responsible for. There was no research that you had to do. You would go to class and you would just listen because you really didn't have the intention of applying any of the coursework. And I think the tragedy is that we have a lot of auditors in the church today. People who come to church, they walk in, they hear the word of God, but friend, they walk out with no intention of ever being changed by God. And I know that's true because for many years I was a church auditor. For years I took notes. For years I wrote things down. But I never allowed God's word to change me. I never allowed the scriptures to get inside of me to change me from the inside out. Church, we must respond to God's word. We need to allow God to change us if we're going to be blessed by the scriptures. We think sometimes that just gaining information makes us spiritually mature. But folks, the test of maturity is not knowledge. Let me tell you what the test of maturity is. It's character. That's the test of maturity. It's not how much information you know, but it's your character. A lot of people have great Bible knowledge, and yet they are spiritual midgets. We need to practice it. We need to apply it. I need to get it in my life. Let me illustrate this. Let's say that you came to me and you were concerned about my health. You said, Jason, I know that you're getting older and I'm concerned about you. And so I don't want you to have furniture problems as you get older. I don't want your chest dropping down in your drawers. And I don't want you having those kinds of problems. So here's what I've got. I've got this book. It's a bodybuilding book. And I want you to take this, and I believe that if you'll take and read this book, and if you will practice the things that you find in this book, it has changed the lives of millions of people. And it'll keep you strong. It'll be a blessing to you. Read this book, and it'll change you. You gave me that book, and if I went away for 6 months, and faithfully I read that book, and I spent nights reading that book and highlighting certain passages in that book, and marking that book, and said, boy, this is great. Great stuff. But if I read it and I marked the book, but I never did any of the exercise, if I never did anything that the book suggests that I do, and I come back 6 months later, and you look at me and say, well, what happened? Didn't you read the book? What if I said, yeah, I read it. I loved it. I underlined it. I marked it. I memorized certain sections of it. Every night, I spent hours studying it. But I never applied the things that I read to my daily life. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? But let me ask you, how often do we do that with God's Word? Church, we need to mark our Bibles. But more than anything else, we need to let the Bible mark us. You see, it's not how many times you've been through the Word of God, it's how many times the Word of God has been through you. We've got to be doers of the Word. And so many times we deceive ourselves into thinking that just because we possess knowledge, that makes us mature. Listen, having knowledge of a bodybuilding book doesn't produce muscles. And just because we know something doesn't mean we act upon it. Unfortunately, many people believe, but they don't practice. And James would say they are hearers of God's word, but they are not doers. Many people appear devout in their religious beliefs, but they fail to practice those beliefs. Unfortunately, we've become a generation of hearers of God's word instead of doers of God's word. But friend, if you want to be blessed, you've got to live the word of God. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to know it. But we must be doers of the word. Heard about a guy who came to church. He came in late one Sunday and he walked in as the service was about to be completed. And he asked the usher, he said, is the sermon done yet? And the usher was very wise. He said, the sermon has been preached, but it is yet to be done. Friend, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to put it into practice. I pray that friendship continues to develop this reputation within our community where people say they're doers of the word down at Friendship. They practice what everyone else just talks about. They live it. Without any hesitation, I can say that every single one of us, we know more spiritual truth than we're putting into practice right now. It's not a matter of our needing to know more. We just need to put into practice what we already know. I need to be a doer of the word. And so I ask you, what are you going to do about what you already know? What are you going to do about what you already know? What are you going to do about it today? Some of us need to decide that we're going to start preparing better for worship, that we're going to get up a little earlier so that we're not rushed. We're going to make it a priority to spend some time before God, just being still in his presence so that we can say, Lord, here I am. God, teach me. God, mold me, shape me. Let your word bless my life. Maybe some of you need to say, God, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. About 5 chapters a day, and you'll go through the scriptures in a 12-month period. Or maybe you need to say, God, I'm going to start memorizing Scripture. I'm going to pick a verse a week, and I'm just going to hide your word in my heart. Or maybe you need to say, God, I need to find a place of ministry. I need a place where I can get involved at Friendship. I can promise you this, that impression without expression leads to depression. If you're always taking in God's word, one study after another, but if you're never out doing ministry, it's going to dry up your spiritual life. And so I pray that God gives us the courage to act on what we already know is right. Friend, if you're here this morning and you want to know more about a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to know more about God's word and how it can change you from the inside out, then you meet me down front in just a few moments as the congregation sings. I'd love to share with you how you can come to know the one who knows you best and he loves you the most. Maybe God's leading you to unite with Friendship. Maybe you're feeling led that God wants you to connect with this family of believers here. If so, then you come as we sing together. Let's pray together.